The title of my message this morning is either lead, follow, or get out of the way. Now, I heard that somebody said that a long time ago. Never thought too much about it until I was down in Florida this last time. So let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, that you are leading us, guiding us into all truth. Lord, you want to not only want us to lead, be leaders, but you also need to know that we're followers, that we follow you. So, Father, we thank you for the word that you've laid upon my heart. We ask, Lord, that you would give me the ability to speak those things that you have spoken to me and showed me, Lord, that I might be able to guide and direct others. Father, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, number one question is, are you a leader? Or are you a follower? Or are you a troublemaker? One who messes things up, gets in the way. And I saw this when we were going someplace, and there was a couple of us following each other. And the guy that messes it up is the guy that's not going where you're going. He doesn't know where he's going. He pulls in front of you in the middle of the whole mess, and he's messing everything up because he's not going where you're going. He's not going at the speed you want to go. He's just causing you to get further and further and further behind, and you become frustrated. You get lost. So that's the guy that I'm talking about. Get out of the way. I trust there's nobody here like that. I trust that you're here because you want to be a leader. You want to be a follower. A leader. I want you to think about these things. A leader, number one, must know where he's going. Jesus knew where he was going, and we're supposed to follow him. Do you know where you're going? If you're going to lead, you've got to know where you're going. And for me as a pastor, I want to lead us to the kingdom, to the promised land. I trust that we can teach you the principles of God that you can follow, that you, in the end, will end up in the kingdom of God, in heaven. Number two, as a leader, you must know the way to get there. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and life. You've got to know where you're going. You've got to know the way to get there. You've got to know who's going with you. Who are you leading? I don't lead everybody, but I know as pastor, I lead the sheep in this congregation. But another congregation, I'm not responsible for them. I'm responsible for you. So I've got to know who's going with me. A leader has to know he's responsible for those he's leading. A teacher, the Bible says in James, that you're held more accountable for the things that you teach because you can be leading people one way or another. So you've got to know who you're leading, who's going with you. You've got to be responsible for where you're leading to see that they arrive safely. I'm concerned about you getting there safely. And then he must go slow enough so they can keep up. Reminded me of the scripture when Jacob and Esau were meeting. And Esau wanted Jacob to follow him. And Jacob says these words in Genesis 23, verse 13. He said, my Lord knows that the children are frail, and the flocks and herds which are nursing are a care to me. And if they are driven hard one day, all the flocks will die. So you can't go at a pace that the people can't keep up. I was following a fellow one time, and I'm not saying he even knew that I wanted to stay close. When I go a distance, not from Canton to Troy or someplace, but if I'm going a couple-hour drive, I like to drive with somebody. If there's another car going the same place, I like to follow them. If a car breaks down, you've got somebody there to help you. And this one time, this was years ago, we left, and man, that guy right at the edge of the speed limit. And I don't know what happened, but I got behind. I don't know if somebody, I got behind a slow truck or what happened. I got behind. I never could catch up unless I broke the speed limit. Oh, if I would have gone maybe 80 miles an hour, I could have caught up. But it wasn't going to happen. I wasn't going to do that. I wasn't going to risk going that fast just to catch up. Have to drive by myself. So you've got to be careful when you're leading that you're not going too fast, that the others can't keep up. So you've got to be watching in the rearview mirror. Just recently, three cars were going together, and we're pulling out, and the leader takes off. And I'm thinking, we weren't all in the car yet, and he's going. He's our leader. Now, thank God we had GPS, and we could find our way home. It was about a 4 or 5 hour drive. You know where we caught up with the guy? We got home first, but he pulled in the parking lot right after we did. Never saw him from the time he pulled out until he pulled in the parking lot. He's supposed to be the leader. Was he watching to see whether we were coming? I don't know. So if you're going to be a leader, these are things that you need to consider. If you're going to be a follower, he must keep his eyes on the leader. Watch for turns. If he's making a right-hand turn, watch his turn signal. If he's turning right, make sure you're ready to turn right. This is a big one. Don't get caught up talking to those riding with you. I mean, if you're going to be a good leader, you got to be a good follower. You might be a leader, but in this situation, you're a follower. But it's so much easier if you pay attention when you're following somebody. Keep your eyes on the leader. Now, these are all natural, but first in the natural, then the spiritual. It works in the church. You got to know who your leader is, and you got to keep your eyes on the leader. Otherwise, you're going to get messed up someplace, and you're not going to know how you got there. Keep in communication with the leader. You know, that's why we have cell phones today. You can, you know, it's easy to get on your cell phone. Keep in communication with the leader. Talk to them. Find out really where they're going and how to get there just in case. Don't lag behind. Keep up. Well, they're going too fast. Well, then get them to slow down a little bit. Then every follower, if you're in a group, is a leader. See, sometimes we think, well, I'm not leading. No, but there's people that are following you. So even if you're a follower, you're a leader. Because a lot of people want to be leaders, but they don't know how to be followers. If you can't follow, you can't lead. Because if you aren't following and you're leading, you're going to lead people astray. And that's what happened on that one trip. Two of us were left behind in the dirt, and we stuck together. So all of a sudden, the follower became the leader. Okay, are you a troublemaker? That's like the car that cuts in front of you. It's not going anywhere. He begins to block your path. By the time you should have been through the traffic light, the light turns on you and the leader is gone. He's just causing you to slow down, to get behind, and he's not going where you're going. And when we're in the kingdom of God, we need to know where the leader is going. So in case we do get lost, we can get back on track and find our way. Now, turn with me to John chapter 14. I believe Jesus gave us instruction. He starts out by saying, "Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you." He's telling us where he's going and where he wants us to go. "If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again, receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." And he says, "You know the way." See, I said, you got to know where you're going. You got to know the way. You know the way where I'm going. Thomas said, "We don't know where you're going. How do we know the way?" We got to know where you're going. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, the life. No man comes to the Father but through me." We've got to follow Jesus. He said, "If you had known me, you would have known my Father also." Verse 16, Jesus is talking to his disciples, and he said, "I will ask the Father, he will give you another helper, that he may be with you." Because he's saying, I'm leaving. He knows that he's going to be crucified. He knows that he has to die on the cross for our sins. And he says, "I'm leaving, but I'm going to ask the Father, he will give you another helper." And that was one just like me. The Holy Spirit is just like Jesus. Well, I love Jesus and I'm following Jesus. Well, if you love Jesus and you're following Jesus, he's given us another helper who is the Holy Spirit. He is just like Jesus. There is no difference. They are one and the same. Verse 26 says, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you." He, the Holy Spirit, God has given to us to teach us, to show us the way. Jesus has gone, but now he gave the Holy Spirit to us to lead us and guide us into all truth. We need to welcome the Holy Spirit into our life. He wants to be with us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days, as long as you live. The Holy Spirit, we need him. We need to depend on him. We need to talk to him. Verse 28, Jesus said, "I go away and I will come to you in the person of the Holy Spirit." John 15, 26, "When the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, that is the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness of me." In other words, he's going to say nothing that Jesus didn't already say. He's going to say the same things that Jesus taught us. So you love Jesus, you love what Jesus taught, you're going to hear the same thing from the Holy Spirit. He doesn't change direction. They are one and the same. John 16, verse 7. "But I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go, the Helper shall not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you." Now, the reason God said it's necessary for me to go, for the Holy Spirit to come, because Jesus could only be at one place at one time. The Holy Spirit is omnipresent. So he can be with me, he can be with Scott, he can be with all, no matter where you're at in the country, he can be with all of us at the same time and directing each one of us according to where God wants you to go and what he wants you to do. You're not alone. The Holy Spirit is with you to guide you into all truth. 16:13 says, "But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will disclose to you what is to come." Jesus said, "He shall glorify me, for he shall take of mine and shall disclose it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said, he takes of mine and he will disclose it to you." It comes from the Father to the Son to the Holy Spirit to you and I. Now, if we don't know how to follow the Holy Spirit, if we don't know how to talk to the Holy Spirit, if we don't know how to hear the Holy Spirit speaking to us, we're out in left field. Romans 8, 14. First of all, I want to say about the Holy Spirit. He was in the Old Testament. Remember the children of Israel came out of Egypt, and it says the cloud led them by day and the fire by night. So whether they traveled by day or by night, the Holy Spirit was with them, leading them, guiding them. Then in Numbers 9, turn with me to Numbers 9. When they completed the temple, the tabernacle, which is basically the church. Now, on the day that the tabernacle was erected and the cloud covered the tabernacle, the tent of the testimony, in the evening, it was like the appearance of fire over the tabernacle until morning. So it was continuously. The cloud would cover it by day and the appearance of fire by night. And whenever the cloud was lifted over the tent, afterward, the sons of Israel would then set out. And in the place where the cloud settled down, there the sons of Israel would camp. And at the command of the Lord, the sons of Israel would set out. And at the command of the Lord, they would camp. As long as the cloud settled over the tabernacle, they remained camped. Even when the cloud lingered over the tabernacle for many days, the sons of Israel would keep the Lord's charge and not set out. If sometimes the cloud remained a few days over the tabernacle, according to the command of the Lord, they remained camped. Then according to the command of the Lord, they set out. If sometimes the cloud remained from evening until morning, when the cloud was lifted in the morning, they would move out. Or if it remained in the daytime, and at nighttime, whenever the cloud was lifted, they would set out. Whether it was 2 days, or a month, or a year, when the cloud lingered over the tabernacle, staying above it, the sons of Israel remained camped and did not set out. But when it lifted, they did set out. At the command of the Lord, they camped, and at the command of the Lord, they set out. They kept the Lord's charge according to the command of the Lord through Moses. Can you imagine? It all had to do with the tabernacle. So these guys, the priests that were in charge of setting that thing up and tearing it down, can you imagine? They just set it up at nighttime, and then the next morning, the cloud moves. They got to tear it all down again. Why did we even set it up? You know, what was the purpose of all this? I believe it was teaching them obedience. See, we want to do our own thing. We don't want to listen to God. We have our own ideas of the way it should be done. It has nothing to do with the Holy Spirit. We know what where we're going. We know what we're to do. Doesn't matter what the Holy Spirit is saying. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says they learned to be obedient. When the cloud lifted, they moved. When the fire stayed, they stayed at night. It didn't matter how long or how short a period of time. Man, can you imagine after they've been there for a year? Man, how long are we going to have to? I hate this place. There's nothing here. This is wilderness. There's no food. You know, I'm tired of this manna. You know, there's no water. We start grumbling. We start complaining. God's in control. He's not moving the cloud. People, Moses would say, I'm sure, God's not moving the cloud. We can't go. Or the fire is not going. And can you imagine when you get outside of the cloud in the desert, how hot it would be? See, the cloud was there for their protection. Keep them cool in the day. And the fire was there to keep them warm at night. Because at nighttime in the desert, it cools right down. And you freeze. So the Holy Spirit is our protection. But there's a lot of people don't understand the Holy Spirit. They don't want to know about the Holy Spirit. They just get upset when things happen and they walk away. But Romans 8:14 says, for all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. I want to ask you, are you a son of God? Are you a child of God? Are you being led by the Spirit? Who is your leader and who are you following? 1 Corinthians chapter 12 says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to the dumb idols, however you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God says Jesus is accursed. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Spirit of God. Then he goes on to say there are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are varieties of ministries and the same Lord. There are varieties of effects, but the same God who works all things in all persons. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Then he says, for to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, to another the effecting of miracles, and to another prophecy, and to another the distinguishing of spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, and to another, the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually, just as he wills. Now, I've heard people say already, oh, I want the gift of healing. I want the gift of miracles. I want the gift of faith. I don't know about you, but when we first came into the baptism of the Holy Spirit, we would pray till we'd start praying, and we'd pray 1, 2, 3 o'clock in the morning. Why? We wanted God to speak. We were waiting for a message in tongues, an interpretation, a prophetic word. We were wanting to hear because that is the power of God. And if you don't learn And we learned in our small home meetings, if you don't learn to hear God in a setting like that, you'll never hear God in a congregation like this. Because you're going to be afraid to open your mouth for fear that you might be wrong. But if God is moving on you, I guarantee you, if it's the Spirit of God, you're going to do it. You can't sit in your seat any longer. Because God wants to get you up out of your seat. And he's going to have you come front. And you're going to say, man, the Spirit of God is moving on. I got something I got to share. When you feel the Holy Spirit moving, you obey. You move out. And I don't know who God's going to move on. But I'll tell you one thing. I pray that our younger generation gets a hunger for the gifts of the Spirit, for the presence of the Holy Spirit, and that they get on fire for God. And I'm talking about you young people back here. I pray that we're here some Sunday morning and the Spirit of God comes on you and you just can't sit there anymore. That's what I'm longing to see. But if you don't want to follow, you'll never become a leader. And if you never become a leader, you're missing out what God really has for you. And it's amazing. Sometimes God does things that's not flowing in the Spirit. Case in point, yesterday, I'm mowing lawn, meditating on my sermon, things that I'm going to say, and all of that, because I had it all written down. I was just rehearsing in my mind. And out of the clear blue, I mean, I can't even understand why the Holy Spirit would interrupt my deep meditation on the Word of what I'm doing. Because this had nothing to do with it. He says, check the gas gauge. I looked. It was all the way down on empty. And this is a diesel tractor. And when they run out, now you got to bleed the whole thing. I wouldn't have needed that. But he said, check the gas gauge. Right in the middle of my meditation. That was a word of knowledge. Exactly. Word of knowledge. And I looked, and I made one beeline for the fuel tank, praying it wasn't going to quit before I got there. See, that's what the Holy Spirit does. He keeps you out of trouble. He's our helper in a time of need. If we would begin to understand how much he loves us and how much he's working in our behalf, we would welcome him. We would spend more time with him. And that's why he gives us the Spirit and the speaking in tongues. Because you can pray in tongues when you have nothing else to do, driving down the road, and your mind is on your driving, but your spirit is praying in the Spirit. And the more you pray in the Spirit, the more the Spirit of God will begin to move. You want the Spirit of God to move. You want the church to grow. I'm going to tell you, it's not because of tongues and interpretation that the church is going to grow. But when the other gifts of the Spirit are added to it, gift of healing, gift of miracles, gift of faith, and they begin to operate in the church, people are going to come to see the fire. They're going to hear all kinds of stuff. They're going to come and just to see what's going on. And the Holy Spirit is going to zap them. And they're going to get saved and filled with the Spirit. And that's what's going to fill the church. It's not the worship. It's not the preaching. It's the presence of God in this place. I live to feel his presence. That's what it's about. Am I living under the presence, the cloud, the fire of the Holy Spirit? Am I moving under the cloud and under the presence of the Holy Spirit? Or am I out there doing my own thing? This is what God is saying to the church. And we're coming up on the day of Pentecost, which is the birth of the church. Oh, I like celebrations. This is what God is saying to us. We need the presence of God like we've never needed it before. In closing, there is some warnings in 2 Timothy 3, 2 and 9. 2 Peter 3, 14 and 18. I want you to know that God always had a leader. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, the prophets, priests, kings. And when there was no leader in the book of Judges, every man did what was right in his own eyes. Thus the enemy ruled there. That's Judges 17:6 and Judges 21:25. So I want you to know, again, everybody is a leader of someone, either good or bad. People are following you where you're leading them to. And everybody is a follower. Who are you following? There are people who won't follow anyone. They have been hurt, and they refuse to submit to anyone because they were hurt by a leader, most times by their own father. Because of what has happened in their growing up, they refuse to submit to anyone. They're out there doing their own thing, and it's a shame. But God has fathers who are the head of the family, pastors who are head of the church, governors who are head of the state, and God the Holy Spirit is the head of us. Jesus was head of his disciples, and they became the leaders in the church. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you not only sent your Son to die on the cross, forgive our sins, bring us into the family of God, but united us as brothers and sisters by the power of the Holy Spirit. That same Spirit that is in me is in my brothers and sisters, which causes us to love one another, to reach out and welcome even those that are lost, those that are down and out, that have no hope, no future, that we might be an encouragement to them, that we might lead them, even as you have led us. Father, the things that we've gone through, the things that we've experienced, both good and bad, they all work together for our good. They work together for the good of the body of Christ. So, Father, I pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit in me, spoke this morning to those that are here, Lord, that they might be drawn closer to you, and we might have a zeal and a fire for the power of the Holy Spirit working in us and through us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.